Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to another Sunday Night Live. We're glad that you have joined us here on another Sunday night. Hopefully we had us a good time at church and worshiping the Lord and being able to be renewed by His Spirit. Although we're supposed to strengthen ourselves throughout the week and stay in the Word and stay in His presence, get that extra boost on Sunday so you can go into your work week tomorrow. And we just pray that you have a good work week. I have my husband James with me tonight. Good evening, James. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, good. I think you're good, too. Well, I'm glad that you are on here because you are actually my most favorite person to have on with me.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Well, we have been talking about at Cornerstone Church on Wednesday nights. We have been doing a marriage series that's called You Do Not Complete Me. We've had different people come in and speak, and maybe I can get them on the radio and share a little bit if they want to. But that's one of the things I kind of wanted to talk about is You Do Not Complete Me, Jane.
Okay.
So talking about being married, the series that they have at church on Wednesdays is it's open to everybody. You're single, you're married, you're divorced, you know, you're dating, wherever you are. It's just been some good information to help. Although Wednesday night's going to be the last night, but you can actually go back and listen to all of those on the website on the Cornerstone website. And you can actually get a link to that off of our website, which is sundaynightlive.org. If you feel like that's something you want to go back and listen to, it's really been a blessing. And I think that it's an encouragement. And you know, one of the things that they talked about is you don't wait till you're marriage is in trouble to get help or to work on it.
Right. Yeah, it's too late almost, you know what I mean? Just wait till the last minute. It's like it's too late. So.
Yeah. And
you have to be prepared ahead of time, and it's never too late to start. Can't start too soon, maybe, to start building up, you know, start building the strength in the day.
Yeah, because we did the Two Turtle Doves ministry, and that was one of the things that we said is like maintenance. It's like when you have a vehicle, you don't wait till your engine blows up till you change the oil or the engine light comes on or whatever. You take care of that, keep it from coming on.
Right, that's it. And it's the weight loss deal. You know what I mean? You don't start dieting the day before you have to weigh in for the see how much weight you lost all month. You gotta start early. So
I'm weighing in the morning. I better not eat tonight. I wish it was that easy.
It would be nice.
I know. You know, when you said weighing in, it made me think of my boys, our boys, whenever they were wrestling when they were little. Because, they had to weigh in every meet. Right. And, of course, if they didn't make weight, is a pound or two off or whatever, then there were things that we had to do to try to get that weight off so that they could go ahead and have their wrestling match.
So they get up at 4:30 in the morning and we drove halfway across the country for nothing. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Which, when you think about that with kids that age, it's like it's almost crazy. But that's part of the sport. You know, you have to be within that pound, right, that within that range to be able to fight or wrestle. But that's what it made me think of, is that that's when we discovered that Pops, Cokes, they really put the pounds on you. Yeah, one summer we had a bunch of Cokes that were given to us. Our neighbor was a delivery. Was that right? He was a distributor for
Coke,
and so he would give us cases of Cokes or drinks. And when he went in for weigh-in, that was a nice surprise. But anyway, we get the point as far as weighing in. And so that's just it. We just have to. Sometimes we don't even know one thing is irritating your spouse. You know, you don't even know that there's something going on, that there's irritation going on. And then a lot of times when you go and you go to these meetings and it just kind of encourages you to talk, well, then you're like, well, yeah, it really bothers me when you do this, or why do we always do that, or things like that. And it just kind of, well, I didn't even know that that bothered you. And that's when you have that opportunity to tweak those things to keep it from blowing up and becoming bigger than it really should.
That's right. Yeah, because that's the part of the whole deal. You know, you can't fix it if you don't know it's broke. That's ideal, you know. And same thing with marriage. If you don't know that, whatever it could be, you know, it could be something leaving your socks on the floor. Maybe just really tick your wife off until you, it's, I don't know, is that big a deal, you know what I mean? Or whatever, it could be little things, you know what I mean? And so it could be the whole toilet paper going over and going under, you know, who knows?
Oh, my goodness.
You know? any little stuff like that could just... And if you don't know it affects someone, you don't change it.
I know it. And I know this has absolutely nothing to do with marriage. But at our office, we just recently got new floors, and we've decided to get new toilet paper holders. And so I actually had a gentleman that was in there that was helping install this toilet paper roll. And then he wanted to, or the holder, and then he wanted to put the toilet paper on. And we're like... We began an argument of the over and the under of the toilet paper. I'm like, that's a serious thing. People are serious about the over and the under. I'm an under girl. This gentleman was an over man. And it was funny. Out of just being funny, he installed a roll over just so that I could see that. But anyway, I thought that was funny. But anyway, just going back to marriage, that's it. It's the little things. But here's the deal. One thing we have to realize is when you come into a marriage, you've got two completely, totally different people trying to come together and live in a way that neither one of you have ever lived like together and make it mesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think, and you each have your own ideas of what marriage is going to be like, you know, and that's usually formed from your parents because that's the only example you have, you know, most people. And so in your mind... Your wife is going to be like your mother was, you know. Your wife's going to treat you the way your mother treated your dad, you know, if you have both, you know, and vice versa type deal. You know, she's going to expect you to treat her like her father treated her mother type deal, you know what I mean? Because that's all you have, you know, that's all you have to go off of, really, is a child. So, because, I mean, you know, if you get married later in life, you probably had a little chance to see some friends and stuff like that, you know, a little bit. That's not quite how it works, you know. But, so when you come in that, and it's... Not only a cultural shock, like this is nothing, you know, this is nothing like I was expecting it to be, you know what I mean? And so that's something to deal with there. And then so, okay, it's nothing, but how do we correct it, or not necessarily correct it, like make it like I want it, but how do we make this work? You know, how do we compromise, and what do we, you know, what's important to me, what's important to you, and how does this work? You know, you have to have that communication, you know, and that's the big part of it. If you don't talk about it, then you're just going to argue about it, you know, that deal.
Well, and that that reminds me of a time I was talking to a particular couple that very same thing. They wanted one thing, and the other one didn't realize it, and they didn't. And so it was like they had a hard time talking about it because they thought they didn't want to bring up something to cause a fight. But... those discussions are what helps you bring that marriage together. It helps you. You don't want to just go along with everything that's going on just because that's what that person wants to do. And it aggravates you because eventually it will blow up. And so there has to be those discussions. There has to be, hey, look, I really don't like it when you do that. And why do you think it's so hard for people to just stand up and say, hey, I don't like that?
Well, a lot of it is personalities. People have a certain personalities. There's a lot of personalities that just do not want to offend nobody, don't want to cause them troubles. You know, people that go to work, they just sit under the radar, you know, they just do their job, they say be quiet, they can not stand something, but they just do it because they don't really want to create waves, you know. People have, there's a non-conflictual personality that a lot of people have. If you have one person that has that, and then one person usually has more of a dominant, you know, the whole, it's opposites attract. And so that's, a lot of times in marriage, you do have one that is kind of a submissive, one is kind of a dominant partner, you know, in each one. Mm-hmm. And that usually works because, you know, if you get too submissive, you're never going to get anything done. If you get too dominant, you're just going to argue all the time and see who can be the biggest bully. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's kind of the way it's kind of needs to work that way almost to an extent. You know what I'm saying? But you can't, you know, you can't be, there can't be too big of a gap, offsided gap there. It just won't be a positive. It may work, but, you know.
But then also, too, in marriage, there's a lot of compromise. Even though there's different, you know, we want to talk about things that irritate us and bother us, but then there are times we do compromise.
Yeah, you have to. You have to compromise on, you know, just like I say, just probably about everything. You know what I mean? Everywhere from the kind of music you like, the volume of the music that you like to have it at. You know what I mean? Some like it loud, some like it low, some like it off. You know what I mean?
Like you like it off.
Some like country, some like rock and roll. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just, some like to take a bath, some like to take a shower. I mean, you know, there's every little thing in life that you have to, you know what I mean?
That's right.
And I think going into marriage, you think that your spouse is going to be just like you and want, like the same kind of food you like. You know what I mean? You know, and that's not the case, you know.
I know it. Because it kind of makes me think about our, you know, you're not a big pasta guy. You know, you would not choose to go eat at Olive Garden.
Oh, I hate Olive Garden.
And so,
I like bread, but I hate Olive Garden.
And so that would just be a torture for you to go to Olive Garden. But I really like to go to Olive Garden. And so I just choose to go to Olive Garden with my friends that like Olive Garden.
Oh, yeah, that's like you with barbecue. You don't really like barbecue. Oh, hey, you're from Texas, live in Texas and not like barbecue. But you don't really like barbecue. So when I'm off to work or on my way or traveling, I'll eat barbecue because I like barbecue.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you used to. What was it that we get at that place in Amarillo? Was it Smoke?
Smoke prime rib at Dyer's.
At Dyer's.
Yeah, Smoke prime rib. Yeah, that's still amazing. You know what it used to be. That's still really good.
But we haven't done that in a while. But anyway, but that is. It's coming together and trying to bring a compromise. And I think about when we first got married, you know, what, we've been married 30 years now. This year will be 31, right? Did I get it right? I'm not the numbers person. He is. So is it
31?
I believe it's going to be 31 years. So that's how long we've been married. So we're not just basing off a 5-year marriage. We've been married for about 30 years, well, over 30 years. And I can remember the first of our, you know, getting married and trying to figure this out. It wasn't always easy.
No, I remember coming in and you would cook. You know, you always cooked. You always had that meal ready. You know, I'd go to work, come home, and you know, kind of the traditional family or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? I know it's not as that way much anymore because, you know, you really can't, a lot of it. But anyway, we had more of the, you was, for the most part, stay-at-home mom. You know, you worked here off and on here and there. But when we first got married, you weren't working, and you'd stay home. And I'd come in, and you'd have dinner ready, and you'd have the food would be well done. Pretty much all the time.
Go ahead, say it.
Well,
burned.
It wasn't always burned, but it was well done. And so, anyway, but, you know, the first couple times, you're like, good gosh, can this woman not cook or what? You know, I was like, and finally, I said something. Hey, you don't have to cook this meat, you know, so much or whatever. I tried to do it for a lot. I don't remember exactly what I said, but basically, this meat
I'm
is
sure it
overdone.
Wasn't polite.
It was. If I said it, you know.
Whatever.
So it was, you know what I mean? But she's like, well, because her dad loved everything. If it wasn't burnt, it wasn't done.
I'm telling you what. My dad, everything had to be burnt. I remember going to a restaurant with my dad, and he ordered pancakes. And he told the waiter, I want my pancakes well done. He came out, and of course, they were done, but they were not. Like, well done. He sent it back. I want these well done. So yes, yes, he did. He did like his food cooked a bunch.
You know, and so like I said, that was the only example you have. So what she was around your dad, right? What you were around him is you just thought that all men like their food burnt, well done. You know what I mean? There
right.
wasn't no. You didn't cook any steak medium rare. What's wrong with that? That's crazy. You know, you burn it, everything. And so she was just doing what she thought because that's the example she had, that everybody liked that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But so if had I not ever said nothing, I'd probably still be skinny because I've ate so good all this time.
You know you'd have come to love burnt food.
I don't know. But anyway. but that's an example of how what you see as a child and you expect it's going to be in marriage. That's totally opposite. No, I hate my food burnt. I like to leave the taste in it before. Don't cook the taste out of it before we eat it.
Well, since we're talking about this, you did one thing I just couldn't believe is you would put ketchup all over, I mean, basically on everything on the plate. Like, that was the one thing you did not run out of is ketchup. You always had made sure there was plenty of ketchup, and that ketchup would cover everything on that plate. And I just could not figure it out. I could not figure it out. I thought, man, my food must really taste horribly. Has to put ketchup all over everything.
I mean, I like ketchup.
I guess so.
Now, maybe in the early days, it was kind of, okay, I'm glad I got ketchup on it because it was burnt. A little something that wasn't burnt juice. But, no, I remember you asked my mom, he always put ketchup on everything because you thought it was your cooking. And my mom's like, oh, no, he puts ketchup on everything. So you're like, oh, okay. Made you feel a little better about it.
Yeah, well, then I finally asked him, like, why? I mean, not only that, I'm thinking about when we would have, like, hamburger steak. So you've got brown gravy, mashed potatoes, brown gravy, you know, all the good stuff. And then you put ketchup on top of it with your brown gravy.
If you don't put ketchup on your brown gravy on your hamburger steak, you need to try it. That's awesome.
I'm like, what is wrong with this man? Ketchup?
That's good right there.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. But there you go. That's the differences like that. And then one of the things that, and this is more on a little serious note, but my mom and dad, they married and divorced 3 times. My dad was physically abusive to my mother and sometimes to us, and definitely, you know, mentally abusive. And so going into this marriage, you were not going to treat me that way. You didn't. But I already had my guard up because I just assumed all men were like my dad, that were going to come in and treat me the way that he treated my mom.
He was probably angry that way because his food was always burned.
Or not burned.
No, and I was like, you were like always saying, well, I'll just leave or whatever. And I was just like, how can you... To divorce to be such a simple, easy, you know what I mean? It was nothing, just part of it. It's just an option, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to bed or I'll just leave was all the same vocabulary. And I just, and I had never even, you know, my parents were together. Divorce would never even have crossed my mind ever. Only thing divorce might have crossed my mind for possibly would have been, you know, the adultery and the stuff like that, the major kind of stuff, you know what I mean? Nothing like, I didn't cook you supper tonight, or, you know what I mean, or I whatever, you burnt my food, or just, you know, you raised your voice at me, and whatever, you know, you're like, well, I'll just leave, and it was a total, finally I told you, I said, listen, that really hurts me, that just rips my heart out every time you say that, and you're saying it like it's just conversation, you know what I mean, you didn't mean it, I don't think, you just... It was just part of the vocabulary. It's just an option. Always on the table.
That was an option. That was like, well, I mean, that's what you do.
If you don't like it, you're not happy, you just leave.
That's right. And I did have a mentality of it's my way or the highway. Like, I ain't going to be treated like that, you know? Like my daddy treated my mom.
Right. So I remember hearing, and you know, you're like, if you ever hit me, you know, boy. And I was like, what? Why? Where'd that come from? Where did you even... You know, what made you even think that I would ever hit you, you know?
Have you ever seen the movie The Burning Bed?
Nope.
I always refer that when I'm making joke about husbands. The movie, it's an old movie. I'm sure it's a Lifetime movie. I mean, it's an old movie, and the husband, I think he beat her or something. Well, when he was asleep, she I don't know if she tied him to the bed or how, but basically she caught his bed on fire and burned him up. Burned him and the whole house down.
Hence the name.
Burning bed. But, yeah, that's how I was. I was like, it's not, I'm not. I went in with my defenses up for no reason.
Yeah.
You were not displaying any of those characteristics that my dad had. And I was like, I was ready. Come on, buddy.
You were hoping for it, I think.
Maybe. But I did. I think I had an expectation that something was going to happen. And I was going to be ready when it did.
Yeah.
Because I was gonna grab something and let them know. And, you know, just sitting here talking about it makes me think, maybe because I wanted my mom, you know, fight back, stand up. But you couldn't with my dad. But anyway, I won't get into all of that. But, you know, just going in that way.
Yeah.
So here we are, going along. I'm all, you don't like it, leave.
Yeah.
Or I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Forget it. And then when you told me that you were crushed, I can remember when you told me, and it just hurt my heart so bad. And I realized what I was doing. And then I knew that I had to do something. I knew something was wrong. And I actually, luckily, I was getting into the Word and was starting to live for God and seeking Him. And I went to God and I was praying to Him about that. And I did. I had a mentality that was an option. That was an option. And I realized that was a mentality and that was an option that was there that shouldn't be there.
Yeah. Yeah, that shouldn't be really, it shouldn't be an option. But like I said, the latest stat, I just heard this like a couple weeks ago, that in marriages, in the Christian, in the church, you know, in our Christians, right, it's 50% divorce rate. 50%, that's 1 in 2 of the Christians are getting divorced. So it didn't used to be that way. You know, it was more in the 30% range, you know, say 15 years ago or whatever. So the Christians, that's became an option more than it used to be. And I think it's because it's more maybe socially accepted, possibly, you know what I mean? But.
Right.
Anyway, for whatever reason, it's become more. And so it's the devil, I think, is getting at our marriages, because we've said it. You know, if you have good marriages, you're going to have a good community. If you have a good community, you're going to have a good county, and so on and so forth, going up to the, you know.
It's a domino effect. Yes.
Everything. And it all starts at home with the marriages, you know, and so. I think that's why the devil's so after right now.
We got our puppy here with us, and he is letting us know that he's not liking this going on. He thinks he needs attention. But anyway, you know, we were trying to figure out how that, because we had that, I had that mentality from the past, and we were trying to figure that out and how we were going to make it work. And when you told me that, it crushed me, and I went to God, and He began to work in me and change me, and He actually began to help me see you in a new light, in a new way. And that's when kind of things started changing for me, my attitude and those things like that.
Yeah, I knew I could sense the present. I knew there was a change, but you know what I mean, I didn't really know what it was or why or you know what I mean. It was almost like a subtle type change or slow change maybe, but it just seemed like it goes on for a little while, you know. Then you're like, you know, it's kind of gaining weight, you know. You don't usually notice you're gaining the weight. It takes a little while. Then you look back, you're like, holy crap, how did this come about? You know, I've got like 10 extra pounds on or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
It kind of sneaks up on you. That's kind of the way it is when things start going good. Like you're not necessarily arguing. I wouldn't say we hardly ever argued, I don't think. But we just had just different views and different ways.
We just had some disagreements.
And so you just, then you realize, oh, hey, she hadn't really been ticked off at me for a while, or I haven't been ticked off at her in a while or something, you know. So I don't just notice it. You know, and you just, it's like your eyes just come up or whatever, you know. And you realize, hey, there's been a change, you know. And it's been for the good, or, you know, sometimes it's for the bad, I think. But it's like you notice the bad changes a little faster. But this is kind of nice, you know what I mean? And I don't know what changed, but I like it, you know, type deal.
Yes.
And so, but that's when you probably should come to them and tell them, hey, you know, I don't know what we're doing different, what you're doing different, but I liked it. So they have some positive, I don't remember I just wasn't raised positive as tithe. But and so it's, but I mean, you know what I mean? That's what that, you communicate that. Hey, when your spouse is doing something that you like, right? Guys do the dishes or whatever, right? And the wife's like, hey, I really thank you for doing the dishes for me. That really blessed me. You know, they're not just keep doing it, right? Because she don't even appreciate it. She didn't even say thank you. You know, whatever. They just go on type deal. You know what I mean?
Right. Didn't even notice that I did the dishes.
Yeah. And same thing, I think, is for all of, I'm not a little guy that like the little things all the time, right? You know. But if guys, if they don't know, like I said, picking up laundry from the floor type deal, whatever, you know, if the wife's like, hey, I really appreciate that you picked up your laundry, put it in the hamper or whatever, you know what I mean? Then he's more likely to receive that. Oh, she, okay, I didn't know it bothered you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, just little stuff, that always helps get all the little stuff, turns into big stuff, you know what I mean?
That's right. So, I can remember thinking, you know, from a woman's point of view, he wouldn't thank me for cooking. You know, shoot, I had this meal hot ready for him, you know? And I can remember we were talking about it, and you're like, well, you don't ever thank me for going to work.
Yeah.
And I thought, that is so true. I don't thank you for going to work. Yeah. I don't thank you that you take care of my family and that you go out, because, you know, you work in the weather. You work in whether it's hot, cold, rain, sleet, or snow, it didn't matter. You were in the weather, and you were out there working. And I never did say thank you for taking care of our family, and you have. You have taken very good care of our family. You've provided well for us, and you've done us good.
Well, and I never would have. That would have been odd, right? Because I'm just that way. I never was, like I said, I didn't have a lot of positive reinforcement about stuff, you know what I mean? And that's just what I'm supposed to do, right? I'm supposed to go to work. I'm supposed to provide for my family. And in my mind, you were supposed to take care of the kids and take care of the house and have dinner ready, you know, type deal, you know what I mean? So it's like, I shouldn't be like, hey, thank you for cooking dinner tonight, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, that's just, to me, that would have been weird, right? I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying, for me,
for the way that you
the way I was raised,
up.
And in,
yes.
in my mind, I was like, yeah, that's what we're supposed to do, you know what I mean? I expect you to have dinner ready when I come home, right? And you expect me to get up and go to work, you know what I mean? Same deal, without saying it. Although, we've had that argument too about the difference.
That's what that just came up in my mind too. That's when I learned how important it was for you to have a cooked meal in the evening. Although that, I think you could say that was probably our first fight.
I was thinking more of the time when I said, I'm not going to work unless you make me a lunch.
Oh, I was thinking about the time that you come home and I didn't have anything made.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you had said something to me that day before that just ticked me off. I can't even tell you what it was, but I was like, I'm done. I'm not doing anything for him anymore. And so, of course, we've already got kids at this point, and I've decided I'm not cooking him supper. So he comes home, he walks in, he goes to the stove, there's nothing on the stove, he opens the oven, nothing in the oven, he opens the microwave, and then that's when you said, if you're not going to cook, you might as well leave.
That's right.
And I said, okay, and by golly, I went to grabbing my purse, and both of us went to grabbing babies. You grabbed a baby, and I grabbed a baby, and you wouldn't let me have my baby. Did you? You hid my purse, it seems like.
No.
You didn't? No. Anyway, we made it through. I didn't leave that night, and we worked it out. But I realized that was very important to you. When you got off work, you had been at work all day. It was very important to you to have that meal when you come home.
Yeah.
And that really, when just talking about it, that's probably my way of saying thank you for going out and working for us.
And that was my way of, you know, I went out and worked all day, right?
Yeah.
And that's, I did my part. Your part is to have me a hot meal ready, you know, even if it's well done.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that one time when you talk about making your lunch, I was tired. I didn't want to get out of bed. I don't want to make your lunch.
Yeah. So it was, and it was, I usually took a bologna sandwich every day. It was like the same thing, like a bologna sandwich. I was fine with it. I got no problem taking a bologna sandwich every day. She's like, you don't get tired of it. I'm like, no. You know.
Same thing. I mean, it was like bologna sandwich, chips, and a Twinkie.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the same thing.
Twinkie, you'd eat A lot of times we didn't, but still.
But on a special occasion, you got Twinkies.
Paid it, I paid it.
Yeah.
But it was still, like, you know, and she's like, I'm not making lunch. Well, if you don't go make my lunch, I'm not going to work. And so we laid there for probably 30 minutes. I was about to be late.
And I really was like, I cannot believe he's not going to go to work.
She's like, you're serious not going to work? I said, not without lunch. If you can't make lunch, I can't go to work. So she got up, made me lunch, got me to work.
Now, were you late that day?
No, probably not. I was too far from the rig that day.
Oh.
It's the little things like that. It's just like, it's stupid almost. You think about
We laugh about it now, but at the time it was like, serious.
Yeah, serious stuff there, you know. It's just growing as one, you know what I mean? You're two separates and you grow into that one. You know, God makes one and you just have to. There's trials, there's errors, you know, and there's difficulties and there, you know what I mean? And there's good with it that all comes together and to make the marriage. And it's work. It, you know, it's that's what it is. You just have to work at it.
It is work.
You have to both be wanting the same outcome, I think. You know what I mean? You have to have that desire to make your marriage work, maybe the right thing, I don't know what to say, but you know what I mean? You want the same thing, you want a happy marriage, you don't want just a marriage. You don't want to be married to someone that you just are miserable in life, don't have any fun, just can't stand to be with a guy or a woman, you can't stand her, you can't stand him. I'm just doing this because the Bible said don't get divorced, so we don't get divorced. We sleep in separate bedrooms and we don't even conversate. She eats her meals, I eat my meals, we're married, we're not going against God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're going against God in every single way but one. You know, I don't think that's how Jesus loves the church. So the man's not doing his part, you know what I mean, by living that way in your marriage. And just, you got God probably rather off you just get divorced than live like that.
Because
you break the one law as opposed to 20 others, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, it's, marriage is, and it's, and you know, people hear it's, young people will tell you, oh, don't marriage is hard work, you know, and all this. And they hear that a lot of times, but you just don't, you get in it and you do it, you're like, whew. Man, I didn't realize it was going to be like this.
Well, you know, really, when you think about it, it's all, you have to basically deny yourself because you went in together always taking care of yourself.
Right.
Yeah. And now you're coming together and you're trying to join together and, you know, make a life together.
Right.
Then it's not just about you anymore. You have someone else to consider.
Right. And then you throw a kid in the mix, or two or three, and then it really gets complicated.
Yes.
Yeah. Because from a man's standpoint, I think this is probably pretty common. Because you finally get going along good, right? You finally get some of this figured out, maybe. And your wife's giving you some attention. And you're, you know, y'all's kind of getting along good. Then all of a sudden she gets pregnant. And if you've ever had a pregnant wife, you know how them deals go. And then the kid comes along. Then all of a sudden, the kid gets all the attention. You're not getting no attention. So, time she gets... You get home from work or however the day goes. She's so exhausted from giving the kid all the attention that there's not much energy left to give you any attention. And if the kid's still awake, that's the only thing that's getting her attention anyway. It ain't you. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're grown, you take care of yourself. Or here, this kid, it's your turn. You watch him. I'm going to bed. And so that creates even a more friction in the marriage. You know, maybe by the time the marriage just kind of starts, kind of, okay, this marriage still could work. And you have that first kid especially, it's just like, oh, Lord, you know,
mm-hmm.
no time for us anymore. And then all she just cares about is that kid. And, you know, it just, that's another, it's a different level of learning that you have to go through, maybe, you know what I mean?
I know it. And as we're talking, you know, I just think about people that are in marriages. They think that when they get married, it's just, we're going to be all happy and go lucky. And for the rest of our life, we're going to live our life to the fullest. And then... when something does go wrong, they think, well, what's happened? Marriage is supposed to be like this. You're going to have those times in your marriage that are going to be rough.
Yeah.
You just are. That's just part of it. That doesn't mean that your marriage is in trouble. That doesn't mean that it's time to walk away or do something different. It just means it's time to do some maintenance, figure out what's going on here, and tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, and I think getting back to the whole... initial deal, right? You got married for a reason. You know what I mean? There was nothing that just... Now, I admit, there's some shotgun weddings and there's some arranged marriages and stuff like that. But for the most part, people choose who they want to marry and they get married for a reason. There's an attraction there, be it physical or You know, I just like their personality. They're really good. You know, mostly it's both. Usually, I think, with people you marry. I hope it is, at least, you know. But, and so you have to focus on that good stuff, right? The good qualities of the woman or man that you married that you know, you have to do things to have fun with that person and keep that marriage good. It's not always about just making it. It's not just keep it afloat. You know what I mean? Let's not just keep it above water. You know what I mean? Let's just keep our heads above water and we'll be okay. No, you should be thriving in your marriage. And you should have a good, happy marriage. Even when that stuff comes up, you know what I mean? You come out stronger on the other side of it. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. You know, talking about whenever I started really seeking in the Word, God began becoming my counselor, really. And that's actually one of His names, is Counselor. And I would go to Him and I would pray about our marriage. And I'd pray about the things that we'd talk about and the things that would go on. And slowly things, you know, for me would change, as you said earlier. But now I'm looking at, 10 years into our marriage. It was about the time we moved to Wheeler. It hit me one morning when I was sitting there. I was reading the Word and just sitting at the kitchen table, and I was just reflecting, and it hit me that you were my best friend. And I never had seen you that way. I had seen you more as the husband, the provider, the dad, you know, all those things. But I saw you as my best friend. And that really totally changed things. I wanted, it was like, you're the one I want to go to. You're the one I want to run to tell things. You're the one that I want to go do things with. You were the one that I wanted to spend my time with.
Yeah. And like I said, that's the goal, I think. That's the goal. That's, if you want a sideline goal of marriage, that's it. You want to be married to your best friend. Because you enjoy doing things with your best friend. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't enjoy doing stuff with your spouse, it makes for a rough marriage, you know what I mean?
It really does.
And to get to that point, you know what I mean, is to confide and tell her, you know, when your spouse tells you stuff, you don't make fun of them or that's stupid, whatever. Now, you can tell them, give them, you know, the reasons of some of that stuff that they're planning on or talking about. Maybe it may be stupid or whatever, you know what I mean? You have to find a way to tell them that that's not right, you know, and show them, not just... But that's what you want. You want a best friend to be honest with you and tell you, hey, look, is this dumb or is this, you know, I mean, the women are like, hey, does these jeans look go with these shirt, whatever. Men don't know. Men don't care. You know what I mean? She can't ask her husband that. I mean, you can ask your best friend that, but the best friend's your husband, you know.
Right. Most husbands, yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, I don't know. It looks good to me, but, you know.
Right.
And so, you know. But, and forming that best friendship with your spouse is, like I said, once you get to that, it's just so much, it's so good. And that don't say you never have arguments, you never have you know what I mean? You never get mad at your best friend. You get mad at your best friend all the time.
That's right.
You know what I mean? But not to a level of the friendship's over, you know?
Yeah, I'm walking out and I'm leaving.
Yeah.
That's, yes, change that way of thinking. That's right. Not an option.
Yeah, right.
That's not an option.
Yeah. Now, we're best friends. I'm not going to change that. You know, we're not going to change that, but, you know.
And it makes me think about what you were saying that earlier, that both the people in the marriage have to be willing to work at it and have the same goal. And it reminds me of what Aaron said Wednesday night, this last Wednesday night, is he said, if you feel like marriage is work and you're not going anywhere, he says you're probably rowing against the current, that it was time to turn around and go with the current.
Yeah, you're going against God.
Yeah. And so that's where you seek God, and then you seek the best for your partner. And that goes to when your spouse comes to you and they point something out negative or they tell you something that they don't like, what is your response? Are you responding with, well, you can either take it or leave it? Or you can say, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that bothered you. No, what is your attitude in that? Are you willing? Are you willing to work on that? Are you willing to take what they say and try to work on it and be a better person for your spouse? That's the difference. And in that, like what you said with the current, when you go with God and He's with you in that marriage, He's going to help you. you're going to all of a sudden, you're going to come up with ideas that's going to bless your spouse, or you're going to know what to say when that one thing comes up, and he helps you in that relationship, and he causes that to be a strong relationship.
Yeah. And that's also, everybody needs direction, you know what I mean? And so it's the whole, if you are, your direction, you're headed towards pleasing God, and my direction is I'm headed towards pleasing God. We're both headed to the right, to the same place, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so that makes it so much easier because, hey man, we can just carpool here. We can take this, you know, we can do this together, and we're going to the same place to share the cab. And
that's good.
You know, we can take the same road. It helps. But when you have, you know, non-believer and a believer, you know what I mean? The scripture talks about being yoked to an unbeliever, but because it's harder, you know, it's not that it can't be done, I guess, but it's, you know what I mean? It's so much better and easier if you're both going to the right, the same direction, you can go together. You know, if you want to leave Wheeler and one of you is going to Oklahoma City and the other one's going to Amarillo, you're going to have a tough time doing it together. Or you're going to have a long day of traveling. You know what I mean? But if you're both going to Amarillo or both going to Oklahoma City, you can ride together and it's a better deal. So it's that having the same goal, which your goal should be Jesus.
I love that that's your analogy on that. If you both are seeking to please God, mm-hmm. Your marriage is going to work.
It's going to work. Because if he's the center of it, it's going to work. And so,
because God's going to have you do things that are going to make your marriage work.
Right.
You're going to please God by doing the things that he is wanting you to do, and it's going to be what's going to help your marriage.
Yeah, if you're trying to have a biblical marriage, there's nothing in that book, in the instruction manual, right, the original instruction manual for marriage, there's nothing in there that's going to pick your wife off. If you honor her and love her and lay your life down for her, right, she's not going to be like, no, I don't want that, you know. I don't want you to love me. I don't want you to honor me, you know. There ain't no woman's going to do that, right? And you know what I mean? And so it's not. So you're never going to have that negative thing. I really don't like the way, I don't really like that you love me. I mean,
yeah.
There ain't no woman going to say that. Everything in the instruction book, if we follow it, it's all positive, and you'll never have the negative of, no, I did the wrong thing. No, you'll never do the wrong thing if you always do the biblical thing, which we don't do. But I'm just saying that if that's the, you know, where do I mess this up and go back to the Bible and say, okay, what am I supposed to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to forgive. I'm supposed to walk in love. And that'll always make that marriage draw stronger and come together, you know.
That's right. I don't know. We've talked about quite a few things, and we've talked about marriage, and we've talked about, you know, coming together and making things work. And I just wonder, there might be some people out there, we want to give you hope, that there is hope for your marriage. Just turn to God. That's all it is. Just turn to God, and he can work on you. And maybe your spouse, maybe you did marry, you're a believer, and your spouse is not a believer. You win them over with your actions. That's what the word says. In quietness, in doing what God tells you to do, that's how you win them over and pray for their salvation. It's not harping on them. It's not telling them that they're doing the wrong thing and, oh, you need to get saved, or you need to, you know, it's not harp. That's not going to help. That may, actually, it's probably going to run farther even from that. But just do what God tells you to do and say what God tells you to say and continue to do that. And in the changes that happen in you, your spouse is going to notice. Like what you noticed in me, you didn't know what it was, even though it was little changes, but you knew something was changing.
Well, and I think the scripture that comes to mind is love will conquer evil.
And it covers a multitude of sins. That's what I was thinking earlier, and I couldn't remember the scripture I was thinking of, but that's it. If you just love, love covers, okay, so maybe they did do something. But when they turn around and they love you and they're, you know, they're seeking out the best for you, all the other stuff just doesn't matter anymore.
Right. Love always wins.
Love is the answer.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, God is love.
Right.
That's right.
If we're walking in love, we're walking with God, and therefore, we're, you know, it conquers it all.
Yeah, that's right. So, here we are. Now we're 30 years married, and Would you say we've got it all together and everything still works?
Oh, sure. Well, yes, sir. Yeah.
We got it all figured out. Oh, man, we're just cruising down this road.
Yeah,
having...
it's like this brand new highway, you know. Brand new highway. It's just smooth as it can be. No bumps in the road or nothing.
You know what? They say to liars, don't you?
But it's probably only that way for 30 to 40 minutes a day. And then the rest of the time, you got potholes and the rock flying up, chipping your windshield and all that on a Texas highway, you know.
Well, especially when they put down those.
So, like I said, it's, but you know what I mean? It's like you, when you do it together, hey, we just put on some stiffer shocks, you know, we'll handle the bumps a little better, you know what I mean? Be a little smoother ride. But when you're enjoying your life as a couple, when you enjoy your spouse, enjoy time together, when you hit that pothole, right?
Right.
It's not as bad as, you know, as you thought it was. And you're angry and not really wanting to be with who you're with, maybe, right? And you hit that pothole and it makes you spill your coffee on your lap, then it's worse, right?
Right.
When you're just walking in love, right? It's, the little stuff is just little stuff. No.
That's right.
The little stuff doesn't matter, and it's all little stuff. You know what I mean? It's the whole, if it doesn't matter 10, 12 years from now, it shouldn't matter now, time, kind of attitude, you know what I mean? But it's, like I said, your goal is your marriage, you know? And then, and that's the whole, you get down to the deal, the marriage was God's idea, and giving us an example, this is our test run, this is our example of how it's going to be in heaven, because we are the bride of Christ. So if we can't learn to be a bride to a husband, how can you be the bride to the master? You know what I mean?
Yes.
And we see how we treat our wife, right? Is that how we want Christ to treat us? Because we're his bride.
Oh, wow.
As a man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, how I treat my wife, is that how I want my husband to treat me? You know what I mean? My Jesus to treat me. And it's almost kind of weird, you know, to say.
I've never thought of it that way.
And I'm the bride, but. You know what I mean? For a man to say, I'm the bride, it's a difficult, but it just goes to the correlation of the same thing, is how you treat your bride, is that how you want Christ to treat you? If not, you might want to treat your bride a little different.
Well, and that goes to
both
the spouse. Yeah, that goes both ways.
For them.
Yeah. In the marriage relationship, it's either the husband or the wife, it's how are you treating each other?
Right.
Yes. Is that how you want to, you know, is that how you want to relate with Christ?
Right. Is that how you would treat Christ? Is that what you want? And I think this is our example to give us a kind of an idea, right, of how this should look, right, you know. And so, it's just a, you know, and that's biblical, but it's, you know what I mean, that's our deal, is this is our test run, practice run, you know what I mean, to strive to be one with Christ. It's like Jesus said that Him and God were one, so we'll be one, right? And this is it. This is our chance to try to be one, so that when we get to heaven, we kind of understand how to be one. You know what I mean? To an extent, but it's, you know, it won't be. But I'm just saying, as a marriage, if you take your marriage as that, this is your goal, to be one, right? Like you would want to be one with Christ. It's,
yes.
It makes it a easier, simpler process. You know what I mean?
Right. It makes me think of that scripture that says, how does it go? Two are strong, but three.
Yeah, three strand cord is.
It's hard to break.
Can't be broke or something.
And it makes me think about a braid. Mm-hmm. If you look at a braid, it's three strands, and if you braid that, if you just have the one piece of rope, and you try to have those two pieces of rope just side by side, they're not going to be as strong as if you braid the three together.
Right.
And you're intertwined with each other. You want Christ in the center of it all, because when that happens, yes, things are going to come your way. There are going to be life-challenging things that come up. But when you have Christ in there as that third strand, that is what is going to help you endure and get through and know how to come out on the other side.
Right, yeah. And that's the advantage of the Christian marriage. You know what I mean? The Christian should, you know, you should have Christ in your marriage. If you're a Christian and you're married, that should be a given. I know it's not, really, because it would be a 50% divorce rate. But that's the key, I think. If you have Christ in your marriage and both of you are believers, man, you got you've got a big head start on the world. You know what I mean? You've got a 90% rate better than they got. You got something they don't have access to. They don't even understand it.
That's right. I don't even know. I don't even know how people that don't have Jesus in their life, how they can actually get through things.
I don't either. But you know, because we all fall, right? We all have our down days, and we all fall and have our whatever.
We all have our bad moments.
And so, if you have Christ in your marriage, when if you're the husband and you have a bad or you fall, right? You got your wife and Christ both pulling you back up. You got two people pulling you back up. If you're the wife, you got your husband and Christ pulling you back up. If you don't have Christ in that, you just got one person trying to pull you up, and half the time that's a person trying to kick you down.
That's the truth.
And so you got somebody kicking you down when you fall, nobody helping you up, or you have two people pulling you up all the time, never wanting you to be down. Look, there's the advantage in that right there in a godly marriage. Is, you know what I mean? My spouse and Jesus are both pulling me back up when I feel down and when I mess up and when I miss it and screw up, whatever. You know what I mean? It could be all my fault. You know what I mean? I could have done it all myself. You know what I mean? Because we're still human. We still make stupid mistakes.
I know. It makes me think about times I get upset with you. Oh, I get upset with you. And it would be something stupid, I'm sure. But, of course, you know, I'm going to start the whole, I'm not going to talk to you anymore, don't touch me, all those different kinds of things. And when, because you're in that relationship with Christ, when you step away from that, it's like I could hear God telling me, you know, really, come on. You know, you need to go back and you need to apologize. You need to reconcile this relationship. And Him helping me through that process of going back and asking for forgiveness or saying sorry. And it's not about being right. In marriage, it's not about being right. It's about being together.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because right or wrong, we're usually wrong. If we're not doing it God's way, we're wrong.
Right.
Anyway, because, you know, the Bible says, let every man be a liar. So if it's not 100% God's way, we're wrong in a part of it, which we usually are wrong in more than half. But so, like I said, you take the right and wrong thing. That's you know, throw that out the window.
Yeah. So. Have fun.
Yeah, and have fun. Most marriages, I think, they have fun when they start and get married, and then for whatever reason, life happens, you know, maybe it's bills or you know, whatever. I don't know what it is, but it's different for everybody, you know. A lot of people, it's money. A lot of people, it's just stress and worry for whatever, you know, medical stuff. It could be children, it could be pets, anything, right?
Right.
And they just let that overwhelm them when they lose their joy and they lose their having fun with their spouse, and they quit having fun with their spouse, and then they associate, we don't ever do anything. We used to have fun, now we don't, so we need to move on, or whatever.
Yes, you have to find that one thing that you can do together. It don't have to be just one thing, but what is that one, what is something that you can do to have fun together? And,
right.
You know, talking about being married for 30 years, a couple of weeks ago, it just seemed like we haven't been able to get together, spend much time together, especially with the way that you work. You're gone quite a bit, and we both decided, all right, today's going to be the day that we're just really going to, just today, we didn't go anywhere or do anything, we just said today's the day that we're just going to love on each other, do things together, and basically what I said was, I'm going to be stuck to your hip, you're stuck with me today, and that ended up being one of the best days I have had in a long time. Went and fed the cows with you, went and put out hay, and I don't even remember what all the things that we did, but we just did it together. I miss those days where it's just being with each other and just enjoying each other's, you know, being around each other and just enjoying each other. And so go to your spouse. Go to them. Figure out a way that, okay, you haven't been spending time together or you've been doing your own thing. Put the phone down. I'm the one that's guilty of that. I have to put the phone down. Put the phone down. Go to your spouse. Choose to give them your undivided attention for a certain amount of time, whatever you can do. If it's only an hour or two, give them an hour or two of your undivided attention. If you can devote more than that, then do it. It will strengthen your marriage just by doing that. That one little thing. And I think you and I, we keep referring back to that day, how much fun we had that day, and all we did was just stay together. We still did the things that we had to do, you know, to keep our life going. We still had to do those things, but we did those things together. Mm-hmm. And that's what made it strong. And so I want to go ahead and pray, or would you be willing to pray for our listeners, that let's pray for their marriages, that they are strong. And if they are struggling, that God would help them and have knowledge in that.
Well, we just thank you for the marriage, Lord God. We know that it was your idea. You created the marriage, Lord God. You made the first one. We just thank you for it, Lord. We just pray that your Spirit speak to those who are struggling in their marriage. Maybe the ones that have never had a good marriage. They've never seen a good marriage. They don't know what a good marriage is like, Lord. Show them in your word how to be that good spouse and develop that good marriage. Because if you've never seen a good marriage, that's the best thing you can have on earth. It's the closest we get to being the bride of Christ. This is our example. This is our, to have that best friend in your spouse. And sometimes the spouses, I understand they don't work out. I understand that. It's not always, you know what I mean? How things work. But if you get God involved in the middle of it and you do your part, you walk in love, you can have that good marriage, even if it's just you and God, and you're doing your part, knowing that you're doing what you can. But it does take work, and we just pray, Lord, that you strengthen the people. Give them the strength of God to have the energy it takes to do life, to do the children, and do the husband and the wife and the spouse. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of energy, but it's worth it. It's worth the reward. The reward is much greater than what you put into it. And just give them some of that, Lord God, because it's like you get a little of it, you just want more, and you want more. It's like getting with Jesus. As soon as you start getting a little bit of Jesus, you just want more and more of it, because it's so good. And a good marriage, we just pray that everyone could have that good marriage, Lord, and just have those days like we had a couple weeks ago. Just an amazing time, just being together and being in the presence of the Lord. It's just such a good rejuvenation to our physical bodies, Lord God. We just pray that you give each and every person listening, Lord God, that hears this, Lord God, just touch them and give them that. Give them that taste of it if they don't know it, if they don't understand it, if they don't, it's been a long time, or if they've never had it, or they had it just last week, they haven't had it today. Touch them, Lord God, and give them that taste of it, and so that they can see that you are good, and they will desire more of you and your ways, the godly way of being married, and do it your way, which is the right way. And it'd be a blessed and fruitful marriage. We just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to talk to people and just use this to get your word out, Lord God. And we just thank everyone for listening. And we just thank Jesus for being our Lord and Savior. And we thank you. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, Father, I just pray for peace over these couples. I pray for peace to just come and surround them. Father, I pray for that love that would overflow within them for their spouse, Lord, that they would begin to see their spouses the way that you see them, that they can lay down all that negative things and those things that are causing them not to come together, to come together. And so, Father, I just speak that over our listeners, that they see their spouse the way that you see them, and there's peace and there's love going on in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was one thing that I had to do, is I prayed, God, help me to see James the way you see James. Because at the time, I didn't see you the way God saw you. And that began to change my perspective as well, is when I began to see that way. But we really want to encourage you in your marriage that, yeah, even if there's something that's tough going on, it's okay. Go to God. Just go to God. Get in the current. Get into the Word. And just do what God says. That's all you have to do, is just do what God says. And so, also, as you start your week, I encourage you to plan something special for your spouse. You know what they like. If they like a Coke, take them a Coke. They like a candy bar, bring them home a candy bar. Whatever it is, it's the little things that add up to the big things, and that can be on the negative and the positive side. And so we just want to encourage you in your marriage, and be blessed this week as you go out and you just love on your spouse. We want to remind you that we do have our website, sundaynightlive.org. We do all have all of our past broadcasts on there. We are also doing podcasts on Google Podcast and on Spotify, and I'm looking to try to get on Apple. So be waiting and be tuned for that. But we just want to send blessings your way. We pray that you have a good night's rest tonight, and you wake up refreshed tomorrow in Jesus' name. And we just say good night, everybody.
Yeah.